Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Lowdown. Today, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by founder, CEO, and first team coach of Precision Football Club, Mr. Sonny Cobbs. Sonny, a big warm welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's just nice to finally be on. It's been a while, Connor, but looking forward to it.
I know, and I suppose as I introduced yourself there, you're Mr. Precision himself. I'm sure I didn't miss any job title, did I?
Yeah, no, it's a long list now. The first team one is the newer one, and yeah, it's nice to add to the founder CEO. But yeah, very nice. No, that's it.
And I suppose for those of you that don't know, Precision Football Club based in Dubai in United Arab Emirates. Sonny, I mean, congrats first and foremost on the promotion 2 weeks ago now, I believe. How's the head
Yeah.
recovering after that last week of
Yeah,
celebrations?
it's been a little sore last week. So obviously like it's been a fantastic first season to set up a I mean we go into it but we set up the whole basis of Precision, but really to, you know, for our first season as a professional club, it's been fantastic to get promoted. It's been a very intense last few months. Kind of everyone around me, family, friends, staff, I said kind of don't talk to me, let me just focus on getting over the line. And when you focus on something, and obviously I thank the team and staff and backroom, we had one goal in it, and that was to get promoted, and we did it in the last week of the season. So and it's been a huge relief. So after that I had to party for a week. I think I deserved it, and I've just getting back into I'm back onto to next season now already, or back onto the next challenge. But it's nice, rewarding feeling. Yeah, I'm proud. I'm proud of the team and the players, really. It's them. It's me just kind of instructing them. It's them that's really, dug deep and got it over the line in our first ever season. So, yeah.
That's a fantastic success story, and it's something, of course, I mean, we'll explore throughout the show and bringing us back to the present day. But as you know, Sonny, I've listened to a few episodes before where we like to begin, as always, at the very start of one's footballing journey. Could you please tell everyone listening your earliest football memory?
Oh, it's an earliest football memory. Earliest football memory. I remember, so, well, funny enough, my dad used to, when I was very young, my dad played rugby. So my earliest football, kicking football wasn't actually a football, it was a rugby ball, which you'll be happy to find. So I used to go and take conversions in the back garden, my left foot and right foot, and I'm left-footed. And I remember I must have been four years old, 4 or 5. And I just remember my dad just keep kicking conversion. I think he wanted me to be a rugby player. But quite quickly, it went on to football. But my earliest memory, England in the Euro 96. I remember watching that, cried when we went out to Germany. I remember tears. I didn't really know what was going on, just a young boy as a big football fan. I was a big Man United fan as well growing up. But every soon as I saw a football, like I said, from my dad making me kick a rugby ball, every time there was a football in my school playground or at home, it was very apparent that I was going to be a football player because I was just kick anything around the house with my left foot, smash vases and all of that. So I'm about 4 or 5 years old.
Amazing. And you know what to say about lefties, they always turn out to be a little bit special, don't they?
Yeah,
But in
there they
terms
are.
of
They are.
in terms of the countless, I mean, we've had countless conversations on football, both in person and online, Sonny, in terms of how we see the game, in terms of how you like to play it, in terms of certain principles of play, so on and so forth. But to have such a kind of nuanced, positive style and affection for the game, just I would say pure passion and love. Who were key for you in terms of growing up and growing and developing that inspiration to play?
You know what? It's a good question. When I was playing, when I was like I said, making a joke about being left-footed, but I was very good at from about 6, 7 years old. I'd play for my local teams, and then when you play, I still remember playing local tournaments. I'd be scoring 3 goals a game, 2 goals a game, playing left midfield. And I think when you're quite young, left-footed, you end up taking the corners, the free kicks. All through school, we had a great school team. Ended up then getting taken on a short-term contract at Southampton. And then, when I realized, and then I was up, then went to Brighton from 14, 15, and then got my scholarship and professional deal. And I was always quite a technical player as young, but very tenacious as well. So watching football, Man United again was a big inspiration. The Brazil national team, watching as a player, I used to study and love football, like we all did, but really watch all games until I went into Brighton. And one of the reasons that my philosophy of play is very attacking, quite purposeful, direct. Can we play forward? Can we get it forward and direct and get numbers in the box? I do like transitional football, but at the same time, every player wherever, regardless of who you are, has roles and responsibilities to defence and defend and hunt the ball and get it back. So it came from Brighton. We were a very successful youth team, very successful feeder club into the first team. From there's a lot of success stories. I mean, look at Lewis Dunk now as his Brighton captain. He was in my youth team a couple of years below me. There's a few others as well. And we kind of always had to play with the ball. There was always lots of football, lots of touches with the ball. We looked at even detail. We even looked at video analysis at Brighton. We used to do quick feet, which was a big part, which people didn't do it. We had bosos and weight training at 15, which was quite peculiar at that back in the 2000s sort of thing. So we were quite ahead of the game. But I think it comes from, I love the game. I think I studied the game and kind of now by playing and coaching, kind of developed my own way, my own philosophy in a way. And what they say, and kind of you would know as a coach, is the best coaches are the best thieves, the best robbers. And it's a common thing that they say in coaching, but you pick the best bits of different coaching sessions. You know, there's some bits I take from Brighton, there's some bits I take from other clubs, there's some bits that I think is good, but I mold it. And there's some bits I watch online and I think that's a great session. And I think I kind of just, like yourself, as I get older, I think now I've come in a position where I've seen thousands of thousands, tens of thousands of hours of young kids playing, what I would do, how I would see it, myself playing. I've just had this hybrid model of attacking.
Speaking of responsible attacking football, very much eerily uncanny to what was Roberto De Zerbi's Brighton at the moment until he left at the weekend. But responsible attacking football, I suppose, I mean, I know the story in terms of how you ended up in Dubai. Could you inform the viewers?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start from again. Like I said, I made it a dream to be a professional footballer, like everyone sets out to be. So I got my professional deal at Brighton. I had a very successful youth career. I was a youth team captain. I made it to FA Youth Cup quarterfinals, played against big teams, played Chelsea live on TV, beat them 2-1. Brendan Rodgers was their youth team manager. And Jose was in the stands, so that was nice when we beat Chelsea. That was good. There's some good players there. Played Newcastle off at St. James's Park. So I had some big moments as a young player. Went on to pro life's very hard. Try and break in the first team, travelled the first team on the bench a few times, and then sent on loan. So even on the loan period, like I said, going back to my last answer, I experienced a lot of different coaches I was very young at 17 going out. I just turned 16, 17 going out loan to men's football. Was a tough thing to do, but that got me experience. But kind of, I got released at 20. I did another 2-3 years in the non-league. So I had an agent at the time. So with an agent, I was looking for, I was getting paid good money, good pay at conference South level in the UK. But I kind of didn't feel fulfilled. Did my level 2 with Brighton. So I was a coach there. Did some coaching at private colleges in the UK, and I thought I was very good. I was a good speaker, as you can probably tell. I use my voice well. So I thought coaching was a good passion of mine, but my dream was to play. I didn't really want to spend a 10, 15 year career in the non-league kind of circuit or, you know, potential lower leagues. I wanted to either get back into the league quite quickly or kind of try my hand at something else. And football is my love. Football is what I know. Football is... It's been every day since I was 4 or 5 years old. So I actually got a contract with my agent, James Agency, and I got a contract out in Beirut. So I actually went to join a team out there called Al-Ahad. And I went to play there, played 4 or 5 games there. It was a crazy experience in the pro division. And I was one of the, a lot of English players don't want to travel abroad to play. And I saw the world. My family traveled as a young boy. My family lived abroad, different places. So I kind of saw the world when I was quite young. And I thought, you know, there is more than just the UK to play football. And, you know, proof's in the pudding for yourself, what you're doing, and even myself. There's so much more out there. And I think people are quite narrow-minded in England to not branch out. I think now with the Bellingham success of going to Dortmund to come, you know, even Sancho, there's many other players that have gone out of the UK and, you know, these are top level players, but if you're in the tier just below, you can still make a good career. There's still top clubs and money to be made. And I went there. My dad at the time was living in Qatar. My sister ended up moving to Dubai. I kind of had enough of the UK and thought, right, I'm going to move to Dubai. I ended up sad, but I had to call it a day in terms of playing. And I dedicated my life to coaching. And I said to myself, I want to be a better coach than I was a player. And I want to make a real impact and get to the top of the game in football, wherever it was coaching to start with. So I worked for a coaching company in Dubai. And in 2012, I moved out here. So that's 12 years ago, 11 and a half, 12 years ago. And then very quickly, I realized that there is, I can build my own company. I wanted my own philosophy to be in place. So at 25, I set my own business up with Royal Football Academy, ran that successfully for about eight years or so, working with loads of local players, Emiratis, a lot of GCC country players, all internationals across Sharjah and Dubai. Built up to about, you know, over 250 kids a week I was in charge of, which my own, I was a young CEO then, young entrepreneur, as you call it, but really got my teeth into coaching, you know, many hours studying. At the same time, I went back to Tottenham with the PFA and the FA to do my level UEFA B. So I spent a year and a half going back and forth to London, and with the PFA, they're a great help and helped fund me and to get to the next level. And came back, did some stuff in America, which we spoke about. But just to recap is, I use that the last 10 years of when I've set my own company up is to kind of work with other companies, combined what I know, and see all different coaches, philosophies, cultures in football is a big thing, and kind of led me to Precision. I mean, that's phase one. That's my answer for that. I can give you the phase two if you want a bit closer, but yeah, it's a long story.
Yeah, it's interesting for those of you that are listening. Like, it's amazing too, because as you speak there, it's really of a one of one pathway in terms of, you know, people say the best paths are the ones that are less taken. Like, there's no one that has gone before you, Sonny, and taken that pathway. And it's really a unique one too, because we spoke off air and people that are involved in Dubai football know the youth development scene over there, albeit is huge. It's very organic, but it can be, it oscillates between the ridiculous and sublime many a time. So developing as a youth coach in Dubai with previously not having much coaching experience is a funny one for me, because as you said there, like, you do have to, you're at a stage where you're 25, you have to build up those hours in terms of quantity. And obviously you're the CEO of a company at that stage too, but also you're trying to maintain that quality gap. And for new coaches, we've seen it all in Dubai before. It's a case of you either seen the last 1-2 months coaching in Dubai, or you've seen the last 5-10 years, and obviously you fall into the latter category. So I think that'd be quite informative. You're at a stage working as a CEO, you know, coaching through 250 kids roughly, as to the steps to maintain that quality and to kind of grow and develop your own apprenticeship at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like you said, you have to, there's no, in any top job or any, when everyone says, you know, how do people get there? You've got to put the hours in. And I think people get very, very, people are fixated on where people are now, or how did that person get to this, but how, you have to put the hours in. People don't really want to do the hard work. And I think you know as well, to be a good coach, you have to have a lot of bad coaching sessions, so a lot of bad times. You know, you have to trial things. And I'm not one to say every coaching session of mine was brilliant. I remember my first coaching session out in Dubai. I did a size of the pitch, I did a 5x5 square. Very quickly, I realized I needed a 50x50 square to keep these kids in this small square. They couldn't work on it. I had to adapt it and change it. And I guess the best coaches are people that can adapt and can admit when they need to, when they're not wrong, but they can change it and learn. And I just had a passion for football. And you kind of, I think any job, you need a real passion for it. And, you know, why would I travel three, four times back to London? I had to travel, get a train and two tubes into London just to make my B license every day, traveling back. And they're the things that people don't see. You know, you have to really dedicate yourself to it. And I loved learning. I'd get home and I'd study and I'd look at it and write my philosophy and what I want to do. And so that passion kind of comes from within, but I think anything you set your mind to, you can kind of achieve. And football is brilliant because there's so many people that can help and so many ideas. There is no right and wrong. It's just my philosophy might be slightly different to yours, but we're not right and wrong. We can feed off each other, you know? And so with what I did at very young, it kind of, a lot of more doors opened for me, which led me to Precision. I did a lot more other things. I was a director. I was a consultant for GEMS school. So I ended up running 38 different schools in the country at 28, 29. So that was amazing. Again, another step up. I ran the GEM Sports Academy, so we ran a program from the UAE to Florida, to IMG in Florida, which we spoke about. And I went over there and I took five footballers over there to see the US scholarship program and the elite pathway people take for sportsmen. And I was fascinated by how well organized and what it takes for the US system to be not just football players, but NFL, basketball, baseball. I thought, you know, Dubai is a great thriving market, but sport, they're a little bit behind. And can I bridge that gap? Can I try and bring my knowledge and what I've seen around the world and into this region? And I feel like I've succeeded now in terms of precision, but we're only just getting started.
And where was the seed of the idea born from?
So there's a few things I say. So one, with IMG, so I went to America, saw elite sportsmen. Now, when I saw elite sportsmen, they food, train, food, education, mind, gym, sleep, eat, train, sleep, the whole. And I thought that's a elite. Myself, when I was a player, of course, it's a big thing. But then I studied technology. I always thought that data helps. I was quite a big believer in data statistics. Feedback. It's not just a subjective view. It's an objective view. So whatever, football is very subjective. You know, one player manager liked me, another manager didn't. And you've got to kind of take a little bit of that away. And that's not stats are saying goals and assists. I'm talking your running stats, your work rate, your productivity levels, the entries into the final third, or little bits of data and stats, how many times you use your left foot, use your right foot. And because I'm left-footed, like most left-footers, you never use your right foot because you're so special on your left foot, you never use your right. So early on, I was like, how many times do I use my right foot? Oh, two times a game. That's not good enough. When I was younger, what is, Figo, what is Del Piero, what is Rivaldo, all these old players, I'm old now, but, what is the Gerard Lampard, what do they use? They use both, top footballers use both. So I wanted to kind of dive into the stats side for myself, my playing team when I was coaching. And there's a technology was built as well. My old football chairman back in the day in Bournemouth set up a technology, and my old youth team player at Brighton, Wes Fogden, he was developing some technology in the UK, and I really kind of researched it and I liked it. And I bought the first bit of technology, one of the icons with the lights and the passing. So yes, you pass, has vision, yeah, has way to pass, scanning, has 12 different games. So I loaned myself some money. I had to get a loan now. And I bought my first little bit of technology over to the UAE. It was a massive risk, massive gamble. I wanted to be different. I wanted my company to have a USP rather than just, based on my own name, which was, competing against the Salgados or big names here in Dubai. Sonny Cobbs doesn't go as far in Dubai that it does in Brighton. So I wanted to be different. And I think the technology side was something I wanted to do. And it was one of the best things I've ever done. I was nervous because, if you're only getting a loan for money and seeing how it works. So I bought some technology. And then very quickly, I got some deals. I ended up linking up with Adidas. I ended up linking up with Qatar National, Qatar government. I did a couple of events there. I was doing showcase events with the technology. And then I always really wanted my own base, my own hub, my own training ground. And for years and years, I was renting school fields, which you probably have for school. There isn't enough. There's no parks here. For instance, you can't use local parks, where in England, as you can find grass everywhere. And probably in America as well. But in Dubai, you can't really find grass. You just pitch up and play. You have to, it's premium to find the field here in Dubai. And I really wanted my own base, my own training ground. And it to make people feel that they're a part of a club culture, part of something, that European environment where, you come, you train two, three times a week and you have a Saturday game. The parents can watch in this environment. You can have a drink and some food after. And I just had this bit of a crazy idea to build my own facility. I wasn't sure how I'd get the money or how it would work, but I really wanted to push that dream of Dubai needed it as well. Dubai needed it. There was not enough centres here. And to build a high-class, almost football training ground. And it came from, to answer the question in snap, so it came from my childhood, my professional career, travelling the world in terms of America and Lebanon, and Dubai and Europe. And my passion for football and having a longevity here in the UAE, finding a niche in the market where, this country needed something like that. And I think it's all kind of works together hand in hand.
And I would say since opening 18 months ago now, roughly, Sonny, if not a little bit more, you know, the success, it's been absolutely amazing to view from afar and obviously to see it a few times in person too. And it's testament to the strength of the operation and to the growth of the game, in fact, in Dubai and the UAE. However, for those that don't know, obviously, when you're a first-time entrepreneur, once you're going into business, you know, things aren't going to be as easy. They're not going to work in a straight line. And I said there was many a sleepless night in a few years preceding the build-up to Precision.
I mean, it's the people that know me, close friends and family realize that it was a struggle, and it's not, no beating around the bush. I've done a few interviews and articles the last year, and people asking how it started, and they kind of know my journey. And it was a time where I had a good thing going with the technology. I ended up buying like ended up buying two, three bits of kit. I ended up running my business, and I was looking actively for a site, and to try and get some investment. All of a sudden, COVID came, 2020, and Dubai was quite tough at the beginning. And I lost everything. I lost all my businesses, finances, my apartment, a car. I didn't have any. I was sleeping on my sister's sofa for a good year, which I don't mind admitting because I still had a dream. And it was one of those where I didn't want something to knock me back. And it was just one of those where I had to go again. And when I had nothing, I had no businesses. I couldn't get back into the schools because of COVID. I couldn't. It was too far gone. I lost my staff. They moved to other jobs. It was very, very, very tough. And you doubt yourself, but it kind of led me to, I had nothing left. So why don't I just go and pitch my idea, which I've always wanted to do. And I just went around and pitched it to different companies and organizations, and everyone loved it, like everyone does. But then they say, okay, you can do it, but you got to pay for it. So it was, I want to do it, but I want you to pay for it. It's one of those. And I think what led to me is my drive and passion. I think when I speak, I'm passionate. I know what I'm talking about. And I think that people believe in that. And I think people take a chance on people who are passionate because at the end of the day, you're going to work yourself. I work 25 hours a day, 8 days a week. You don't necessarily have time off, but your mind's always going on it. So there's many sleepless nights. There was ups and downs. Even when I finally got the site, I couldn't have found the site. It's 165,000 square foot. We always did that. All of a sudden, you think it's going well. Then there was a weight bearing issue on the car park where we built on, and we had to stop it and for 3 months. And it wasn't enough. I thought it's going to be delayed. Is it going to open? There's so many things that can go wrong. But if you have the right people around you, if you have the right drive, and you kind of don't get too up and too stressed or too happy. Don't you kind of keep yourself on an even keel? Because don't get too excited yet. The family is a good day, because trust me, there's going to be a bad day coming tomorrow. And it sounds very cliche, and it sounds very, but you just got to believe. You just got to have self belief. And I just, there was nothing throughout. I couldn't go any further down. I was, I wouldn't be meant to meet it. There was nothing else I could have done. I just wanted to bounce back, and my dream was to build this, and I kind of. I didn't want to stop until it's done, and now it's been open, and now we're on this call. It's all been amazing, and I just love the fact that people can come to this center and learn how to play football, and coaches can learn. And now I've got 25 staff, and we have 2,500, 3,000 people coming through a week to play, whether it's social, whether it's just community football, whether it's the professional team now, academy development, it's five-a-side leagues. It's amazing. For the viewers, I'll obviously to come and check it out. I'm sure maybe you'll show some videos or some stills of the location. And I feel that this is its first one. And I feel that this should be in other locations because other people deserve to have the right to go and play football, to turn up, to learn, to play from a good facility. The days are gone now where you kick a ball with your mate's dad down the park, or you go into a school field here in Dubai. It's not right. It should be having a professional environment where it's affordable. We don't make it too premium. It's affordable, and you can come and play, and it's open 16, 17 hours a day.
It's amazing too, and you know the sheer persistence makes it all the more remarkable. And you know it is a sight to behold for the eyes, because I remember it was myself and one of my friends. We turned up to a SAFA training session, which of course your good self was leading. I believe it was April 22 on the top of Ibn Battuta Park, the Kerr Park at the top of Ibn Battuta Mall, and you were leading a session. And it was between then, I believe, in September 22, when I was away in the US, came back, visited a facility again. And I kid you not, I must have been there for 30 seconds, looking up and down at the place, trying to get my eyes adjusted. So I could not believe the extent of the operation that had unfolded that summer. So where I'm going with this is, there was a very informative Instagram post which you put up, I believe, a few months ago, where it was you, in fact, Sonny, in that car fair gate, Ibn Battuta Mall. The next photo was a napkin, I believe a napkin or an A4 piece of paper of you drawing out the facility. Then the last one was a video of the actual facility itself. So it's absolutely amazing to see what's been built. But, you know, obviously one of the reasons we're here today is to celebrate, obviously, the first team success. And in amongst all of this, being CEO, running the business, looking for expansion elsewhere, where did the idea of having a first team come into play?
Yeah, well, it's the funny one. The first team, you know, it was our operations manager, Toby, at Precision. Now he's the sporting director of the first team. I know he's a friend of yours and he's a good friend of mine. And he said we should look for a first team. And we were toying with the idea. We spoke about it between ourselves. And I initially said, after, you know, building from a car park with nothing on it to going through the ups and downs, finally opening the doors to Precision, which is this state-of-the-art training facility. It was amazing. Once you open the doors, the clock starts again. You've got to work hard. You've got to get things going. You've got to get customers in. You've got to get the money to pay the lights, pay the D-Wire, pay all of it. So I was thinking, well, I've got so much to do to get this up and running. Maybe it's a bit too soon to run a first team. He said, no, we should try. And I thought, well, who's going to be the gaffer? So, well, you know, I've got my B license, you know, getting on my A license soon. And then I thought, well, I'm not most qualified. It's my passion. It's actually what I love to do. Coaching in the professional game is really what I set out to do years ago. The business side has taken on. So I thought, yeah, I mean, it'd be a great idea. It's a great fantasy to have a first team, but can we actually do it? And we said, oh, we'll just apply. We'll just apply. We'll see. I mean, yeah, do you know what? We'll see how it goes. Next thing I know, we get an interview with the UEFA. I have to turn up. There's myself and a couple of my partners and Toby. We do a presentation. They absolutely blown away with the facility. Like you just said yourself, it's a state-of-the-art training facility, which is nothing seen in Dubai. So they were blown away. They said, this is amazing. We're going to grind with a special license to participate in the professional game, start in Division 3. Still, me and Toby had no idea how to run a football club. I mean, I know how to play in one and how to manage one in a way, but not a whole club. But full credit to myself and him. If you're passionate and you want to learn and you study, you can, you know, you go by. Again, there may be some mistakes made, but we got it going. So the idea kind of rose from myself and Toby talking about it. Let's see how we can do it. All of a sudden, then we got players from that yourself that we know from Canada. I got Joel Lynch, who's my captain. Another one I approached. He wanted to come here. He again came to see me in the summer, walked through the doors, and he went, "Wow!" He was breathless. He went, "Sonny, I can't believe what you've built. What Precision is. I'm in. Sign me in. I want to be part of it. I want to be on this journey." And I think people buy into not just the first team as a, it's just as a club as itself, as a whole facility as a club. And, you know, we've got the analysis room, we do tactics, we've got every training session's filmed, we've got ice baths for recovery, we've got sauna. It's crazy. So any person that comes here wants to sign, wants to play. Managed to assemble a team. We did trials. We did an open trial with 140 players coming down, from kids that couldn't kick a ball to professionals. Again, that was an experience. We had a 13-year-old goalie showed up. He was actually our best goalie of the day. Right, he was 13. We were trying to find a professional goalie. We had a 13-year-old. The league said you can't have them till they're 16. So that was out the window. So there's some funny stories. But once we got going, it's funny because once we got it and we're ready, it very, very quickly, we got to grips with it. And me and Toby really, got to grips with it, got a team. And we're off and running. So Adidas were a good support for us. We have a good technical partner in terms of Adidas. My partners and the board members are very supportive as well. So with the right people around you and they believe in you, we managed to put it together. And now we know every single thing to do right, everything to do not do wrong again. And then we've got a well-oiled professional club. And I really feel that we've added the right staff, and we're looking to sign some big names in the summer, and and try and attack to get promoted from Division Two. Why not? Why not go to the very top? Why not go to the Pro Division? Why not go to the Asia Champions League? Why not? There's, you know, I've set some goals in life that I've achieved already. So why not set a crazy goal? If you don't quite hit it, well, at least you might get close, you know, and that's kind of one of my mottos. So why not?
100%. And I think what was quite engaging and impactful throughout the year was following your guys' promotion push, obviously with the likes of KB and Santi involved too. But there was huge excitement around it. Obviously, it was a tight promotion race at the end in which you guys succeeded in coming second to Falcons, pushing out Madnat at the very end. But you guys got it done on the final day of the season. I mean, yeah. Obviously, CEO of the business, founder of the business, obviously first team coach, there's probably not a single role that you don't do inside Precision Football, Sonny. So how the bloody hell do you manage a promotion chase and keep that? Like, how do you keep the main thing, with so much going on?
You have to compartmentalize your time. You have to kind of separate your time and your head. And I wear different hats into work. And it's funny because my staff know when I'm in the morning, if I'm here, I'm coaching on the field. I tell them, and for instance, a Friday's match day. Friday, my staff, I have to just focus on the first. Certain mornings, I focus just on the first. So if there's something going on with the business side, I say speak to me in the afternoon from 12 onwards when I have a shower change, right? Then I can spend my 2 hours doing this and then I go to my meetings. And so you really just have to focus your time. It took me time to understand. But once you're on the pitch and you feel it, once your boots touch the field and you're on the field, you know, you're in coaching mode. This is a switch and it can happen. You just switch it and you focus on the team. And again, I love the coaching side and the managing side, players and tactics. And, you know, it's like a game of chess. How can we beat this team? How can we beat this team? I developed and learned a lot over the year. And I feel now that I'm a lot better coach and manager than I was when I started the season. But the last, like you said, I can't express enough. We won the last 10 games out of 11. The last 11 games, we had to win 10. And we did. We won 10 out of the last 11. And that is an unbelievable success for the team. You know, my backroom team as well. We've spent a lot of time. And you know what it did? And then it sounds cliche, but we actually left no stone unturned. We had analysis doing videos for us in the UK, sending to us at night, watching the analysis for other teams, watching ourselves back, having the boys in early for half an hour to go through tactics. Myself doing trial and error on different types of press and then looking at low blocks at times and looking at being very attacking, free-flowing football. Looking at the right back, maybe coming as inverted as a midfielder, looking at one of our centre mids stepping up to go up front to add more numbers. And we kind of like just the last couple of months, we really put together like a formula, me and myself, Leon, who's my assistant manager, of on the field, what happened in this scenario, this scenario, this scenario, this scenario. So I went into each game actually having about five or six different scenarios that could occur that we could deal with. And I've never felt so confident in going into every game in the last couple of months because I knew we'd done a lot of work on the field. And I think when you look at Man City and you look at Pep stuff or Arteta's, do you watch the All or Nothing stuff and behind the scenes? I'm sure you do. Yeah. And I love it. And I tell some of my other coaches, you know, watch it. And they say, oh, but I don't support Man City. I don't support Arsenal. I'm a Man United fan, but I love seeing any sort of behind the scenes I'm sure you do as well.
Can we expect to see a Precision one soon?
Yeah, hopefully. We actually got a documentary. We actually got a 2-week documentary on some games. I mean, there's a few swear words and a few it's a high pressure training sessions. But yeah, again, me and my assistant manager spent a lot of time working on the pitch. Tony did work a lot of work off the field. My physio did a lot of work to keep players fit, and Joel Lynch as my captain, senior player, looking after players, the mentality side, the mental side of, you know, the players that are maybe on the fringes, you know, are they confident? We used to go for some, you know, staff, some team meals. They used to have team bonding, all the little things that as a success story would have. You have to do that. You can't really leave anything, you know, you can't just work on the 11 and forget about your 7 or 8 subs or 10 other players not playing. But it'll work on everyone. And I really felt confident going into those last games and we managed to put it off. I don't know how. I mean, it's amazing. And now again, I'm sitting here and we've got Division Two to attack now. So I need a break. I'm not ready yet. I need another couple of months off. I need a good month off. I'm going to need to go see some family and friends and kind of relax and reset because I don't want to go into the next season at 80%, 95%. You need to go in at 100%. So yeah, I'm excited for the future. And you'll have to come out and see us. You've got to come and watch us play.
100%. 100%. And I'm sure you guys will be coming to TV near us soon, the way your trajectory is going. But it's an interesting one. You touched upon one of the key tenets of your own philosophy being adaptability, especially in a league as such, when you're playing where the level really does oscillate between quite the ridiculous and sublime at the top, and it could be anything at the bottom. But building an academy at the same time of the first team success, would you say there is a clear, defined, precision way of playing, Sonny, or is that something which you guys are continuing to work on and expand further?
I feel my identity and philosophy at Precision as a company first, which came before the first team, it's quite clear. I like to be play with freedom, play forward when you can. So I kind of identify that in the training models that a lot of the coaches and staff take on. So a lot of our topics are of that, you know. I like big expansive pitches when we set up. We set up big pitches, play, time on the ball, ball mastery. So that's kind of my basic core of football. Is I want everyone to play with the ball and be everyone, whether you're centre half, I was a left back when I was growing up, centre back, centre, you know, everyone to play in the ball. I think the European philosophy, the Spanish and especially German, every player can play different positions. I think in England, we're very robust. I mean, if you're left back, that's it. You spend your whole time. So when you go, can you play right back? Absolutely not. Your mind goes crazy. You can't even think about it. I feel like players should develop across as young players. If you're a centre mid, we'll go and play right mid. If you're a right back, we'll go and play left midfield. Try and get yourself that. That's my philosophy of creating a total footballer rather than specific positions. So with the first team, how I'm working with it now is, yes, for instance, I play a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. But can I filter it down? At the minute, not quite. The key principles for playing, like play with freedom, play with pace, play with purpose, and lots of touches on the ball where I like, that can be implemented down to my youth teams and my academy. I think as we grow, we're still quite, the company's in its inventory, we're still quite new. So we haven't got the big numbers or, you know, we're looking for the 16s, 18s, 21s in the next year. So that I would then look at the key elements and philosophy to be embedded. I think that would be very good. But at the minute, again, I want to, when they're younger, I don't want to force too many things down there. Footballers can only remember about three things anyway, as grown men, I've seen it. So kids, let them play a lot with freedom. But I have a little bit of our core philosophy in there. So a bit of both. With going forward, we can sprinkle a little bit more of our identity, because I would love a player to be looked at on the field. For instance, if you watch one of our players, you go, oh, he must have been played at Precision. He's a Precision player. That would be nothing more make me proud if someone can see a Precision player, which is, you know, very fast, fast-paced, purposeful player. Freedom on the ball, final third is being unpredictable. At the same time, you know, work rate and defence and teamwork is the core value. So I'd love to see a Precision moulded player soon. Yeah.
Amazing. And I mean, something that you touched upon throughout this interview, Sonny, about being in phase one. Obviously, we're looking at phase one, right? For Precision, establishment facility, roll out of the academy, obviously the constant development and upgrade and technology, and obviously the first team success. What can people listening and viewing expect to see for phase two?
So phase two, I mean, I start with the first thing. Phase two is division two. We're looking at having a good crack at trying to get to division one. It's insane. I think we're looking at streaming our games, looking at live commentary, getting our games filmed every day, more crowds, building a community here. So for us to be an established club in the UAE, I think that would be a big fan base, be a big social media presence. So keep an eye on us for that, for our social channels, and make an impact in the UAE by competing in a higher division, which is fantastic. I think as a company, I'm looking at phase two in terms of, we have a gym. We're looking at building a boutique gym. We're looking at sports strength and conditioning training on site. We just opened our wellness center, which has our ice bath recovery. So that is, like, for instance, we're looking at a shop towards the front of us, like a retail area for us as a facility. So just everything football, you can buy your football jersey, football boots here. And just my philosophy is at Precision is the home of football. So if you want to do a coaching course, an education course, professional kid, academy, five a side, you're 70, want to play, you want to have an alcoholic beverage and a beer and watch football. You know, we've got the Coterie, F&B, which is a fantastic restaurant and bar upstairs. So we want to be the home football. You think of football, anything that involves football, you pick up the phone, Precision must be do this. Referees course, Precision, this Precision. I'm looking at expanding facilities. So we're looking at maybe a site two in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. We've been looking at a few sites. And again, across the GCC, we've had some serious chats with some serious people in Saudi Arabia and other countries across the GCC. And I really think that phase two is building on what we can on site one, moving to, well, not moving, duplicating it in site two, three, four, five, six. I think the next 18 months, there'll be a couple more grand openings, Precisions across the region.
Fantastic, and that's quite a story. It's quite a remarkable story, Sonny, given that it was only a few years ago you were kicking conversions in your back garden. But for those people that are slightly bit inspired by your journey to date and obviously the continued growth and plans for Precision, what would be the one bit of key advice you'd have for those people listening?
If you have passion in anything you do, especially coaching when we're talking about football, you can really achieve what you want. I think don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to throw yourself in the deep end. I threw myself in the deep end many times with the first team, for instance. You come out more successful than you don't. Learn off of people. I still be a good thief. I don't mean go around stealing things, but learn off other people. Don't be afraid to think that you're the best. Even now, do I think I'm the best manager? Absolutely not. But can I learn off other people? I think learn, be passionate, and if you've got the right passion and drive, I think you'll get there. And football is a great community. I think football is, it helped mold my life. It helped save my life at times where I had nothing really much else going on. I think football is a community. There's a lot of good people and a lot of, it's a very social sport, of course, and it helps. And I think just, as I said, dive into the deep end, speak to people and learn and people can achieve great things. And I'm not someone that's, you know, sitting here saying, oh, you know, I'm done. I think I've got a lot more to learn from, and there's a lot of good people doing the right thing. So let's just all try and make an impact, and that's it, really.
Fantastic. Sonny Cobbs, it was an absolute pleasure speaking to you today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.